Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Today, we present a tale of an alcohol problem, innovation, and cooperation. Not your typical VPR Cafe episode, but stick around as Melissa Passanen takes us through it. Melissa is a freelance journalist and contributor to the food section of 7 Days. Melissa, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
The alcohol story starts with kombucha. So explain what kombucha is.
Kombucha is a naturally fermented tea drink. It also happens to be a rising star in what are called functional food and beverage. And essentially, it's brewed black and green tea combined with a source of sugar and something called a SCOBY, which is an acronym for symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast. And it works to ferment the tea into a funky, vinegary, lightly fizzy beverage, which some people love. It's not to everyone's taste. So what's happening is the yeast is eating the sugar and creating carbon dioxide. That gives you the little bit of fizz. It also creates some ethanol, which is drinking alcohol. Then the bacteria turn some of that ethanol into amino and other organic acids, which includes the acetic acid. That's where the vinegar comes from, the vinegar flavor.
So is this where the potential alcohol problem comes from?
You're so smart, Rick. So yeah, prior to around 2009, 2010, no one really thought there was any significant alcohol in the kombucha that reached customers, people who were actually drinking it, although everyone knew there was some alcohol produced in that whole chemical interaction I explained. People believed that the natural balance between the yeast and bacteria activity I described kept it under the legal level. And yes, there's a legal level. Beverages can have up to 0.5% alcohol by volume, which is ABV, and not be considered an alcoholic beverage. But if they exceed that, they have to follow federal guidelines for marketing, selling alcoholic beverages. And the problem is that in kombucha, if enough of that ethanol that we talked about accumulates, even if it's still very low, you know, just around 0.6% isn't really much. It's really trace, although some people might be concerned about it, and that's fair. You know, when that accumulates, you end up in a situation where you have kombucha that you thought was non-alcoholic, but according to the federal agency, it is alcoholic. It's also a live product. The SCOBY, the yeast and bacteria, they continue to work even after the kombucha goes out of the hands of its producer, so it could continue to ferment.
Tell us a little bit about Vermont kombucha brewer Jeff Weber of Aqua Vitae, now based in Middlebury.
So Aqua Vitae is now a little over 10 years old as a company and a pretty established player in this industry. They produce about 30,000 gallons of kombucha a month. They employ 35 people, 62,000 square foot facility, and are distributed in 25 different states. But back in 2007, Jeff had recently been introduced to the idea of kombucha in Portland, Oregon, moved to Vermont, and started selling his own at the Middlebury Farmers Market. He not only liked the taste, but he believed strongly in its health attributes. Now, I should be clear, there is limited peer-reviewed scientific evidence that proves what proponents believe are its health claims, but many people do believe that kombucha can do everything from improved digestive health, that's related to those probiotics, to strengthen one's immunity.
So how did he and others become aware of this alcohol issue?
So in 2009, he was doing very well. He had expanded from the farmer's market to the Middlebury Food Co-op and then to some other food co-ops. And he was working in his small brewery, which at the time was in the basement of his Salisbury farmhouse. And there was a knock at the door. And it was three agents with guns and badges, two from the Vermont Department of Liquor Control and one from the Federal Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, which is called the TTB for short. And they basically gave him a pretty hard time for several hours, had him go through details of his recipe, his process. One of them disappeared and went off and came back and said, there's no distilling equipment here. And he was really nervous. Then they took samples and they left, and he didn't hear for months. But he thought, well, I better test my kombucha. He knew they were there to see what was going on with the alcohol level. And to his shock and dismay, turned out that his and a couple other regional brewers were coming in at 1.5 to 3.5% ABV, which, as we discussed, is significantly more than the 0.5 that is legal limit. and even close to the level of some light beers. And then in 2010, it hit the national scene because there were bottles of another brand's kombucha that bubbled over in a Whole Foods market in Portland, Maine, causing, you know, big tests of a lot of different brands and discovering that a lot were exceeding the 0.5. And then we have Lindsay Lohan, the actress, to thank for more headlines because apparently she failed a sobriety test and blamed it on kombucha, although that later proved out to be false.
This is a tale of intrigue.
I know.
And this is the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. With me today is freelance food writer and 7 Days contributor Melissa Passanen. We're discussing the delightful relationship between kombucha and vodka. Just wait. Melissa, how did Aqua Vitae address its problem of having alcohol left over from its kombucha-making process?
They first started with a biological fix, working with the natural vitality of the SCOBY, that original combination of bacteria and yeast. But as they grew and expanded, that solution didn't scale. So they ended up investing in a very significant piece of equipment that actually was developed for the wine industry. It's called a spinning cone column, and it has cost them $1.68 million, but it is, they believe, the most effective way to remove excess alcohol from the kombucha and yet retain what they believe is an authentic kombucha product.
And hence they come to Aqua Vodka. So describe this product.
So this is a vodka that is distilled out of the excess alcohol that Aqua Vitae is taking out of their kombucha to ensure that they get a non-alcoholic product to the market. It is a partnership, which is really cool, between Aqua Vitae and Appalachian Gap Distillery, which both happen to be in a Middlebury industrial park around an area called Exchange Street. And Appalachian Gap Distillery prides themselves in using all of their own fermented alcohol as the base for their distilled spirits. So here they are able to get another form of alcohol from their neighbor, and they decided to go with vodka, which is a big and very active category, because they actually wanted to draw attention to the fact that this is a product that comes from kombucha excess unwanted alcohol. And it's actually delicious because vodka is kind of known as more of a neutral spirit, but this is sweet and velvety and has really a rich flavor, something I didn't expect from vodka. Currently, it's distributed in 4 states, Vermont, New York, Massachusetts, and California. It's even sold in Levi's Stadium, which is the home of the 49ers in California. And they have a really funky cocktail. We have the recipe in the 7 Days article, to which we'll link from your website.
Melissa Passanen is a freelance journalist and contributor to the food section of 7 Days. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us again at the VPR Cafe.
Cheers, Rick.